Hey, I'm Darren, and I'm one of the pastors here at Focus 314. And today we are in week two of a series, a message series that we're calling Love Like Jesus. Love Like Jesus. I don't know about you, but I know that the world that we live in desperately needs Jesus, doesn't it? How many of you look at the world that we live in, you're like, man, we desperately need Jesus. How about this? How many of you know that you desperately need Jesus? Right? I don't know about you, but every single day that I'm on this earth, it feels like I understand that more and more, that I need Jesus. And that leads to a question, why? Why is it, why? I mean, we look at the world and we're like, yeah, it needs Jesus. We look at ourselves and we think, man, I need Jesus. But really, why do we need Jesus? Why do we need to have Jesus inside of our lives? Because I don't know about you, but I look at the world that we live in and I see brokenness. I see hurt. I see pain. I see things that are not okay. They're just not okay. And no matter how many programs that we try to be able to have, no matter how many policies that our government tries to be able to pass, we just still live in a world that's not okay, is it? Even for ourselves, why do I say that I need Jesus? Why do you feel that inside of yourself that you say, I need Jesus? Because I'm hurting and I'm broken. I'm hurting and I'm broken inside. And there's nothing that I can do to try to earn anything. A lot of men, maybe you're in here as well, there's something that drives us, something that's a fear inside of us, and it's a fear of failure, isn't it? Not good enough. And I believe that the reason why that fear sits inside of every single one of us, it's because it's true. Not good enough. There's nothing that I can do to earn and deserve not being broken, which is why I need Jesus, which is why this world needs Jesus. All we need is love, but not our love, because our love is not enough, is it? All we need is love. But the love of humanity is not enough. It's not enough to be able to get us past all of the brokenness. And you could think to yourself, well, you know, my love's pretty good. I love a lot of people. I love the whales, you know. I got love inside of me until somebody hurts you. Until somebody betrays you. And then all of a sudden, it's not enough, and you know it. And that's why we desperately need the love of Jesus in our world and for ourselves. Because we're hurting and we're broken. And nothing that we can do, no kind of program, no kind of strategy, no kind of self-help book is going to get us past it. Except for the love of Jesus. And we have a unique opportunity that when we say yes to Jesus, that all of a sudden we join in his family and he gives us an opportunity and the responsibility to be his hands and feet to the world. That the local church on mission is the hope of the world, because the local church is what is going to bring Jesus to the world. And the world desperately needs Jesus. Am I speaking to anybody today? And so what we have to do as the church, as an individuals, as part of the church, is that we need to learn how to bring the love of Jesus to the world. We got to learn to love like Jesus. Isn't it interesting that the more you're around somebody, the more you begin to act like them? You begin to talk like them, right? Like, it cracks me up when my 10-year-old and my 7-year-old will say things like, bro. Like, what 10 and 7-year-old? No 10 and 7-year-olds say it. Mine do. And you know why it cracks me up so much? Because I know they're hanging out with me. Because if you spend any time with me, you know that I'm like, bro, you know, like, it just comes out. I'm sorry. It's just like, it's my filler word. Like some of y'all, your filler word when you're praying is Lord, dear Lord, yes, Lord, dear Lord, yes, Lord. Like, okay, we know who you're talking to, right? It's a filler word for me. And so it cracks me up. The more that you're hanging out with somebody, the more you begin to think like them, the more you begin to act like them, talk like them. Sometimes you begin to even like look like each other, don't you? Like, have you ever heard that? Like a couple that's been married for a long time and they're like, but you look like brother and sister, right? No, some of you are like, I feel uncomfortable with that statement right there. I don't like that. Sometimes you see that with people and their pets, don't you? People look like their pets, don't they? They do. I hope that's nobody's grandma in here. People look like their pets. How about this one? I wish I saw the fan when that was being taken. That's so funny. I love it so much. Hey, we got another one for you. People look like their pets. They hang out with them. Hey, but we're in church, so we had to make sure that we had a church one in here too. There you go. Oh, man. I got to find a picture. I got to find a dog with spiky hair and some cool sneakers. That's what I need to be able to find. I love it so much. That's so funny. But we do. The more that we're around somebody, the more that we are like them. The more that we act like them, that we think like them, and that we talk like them. And so what we want to do is we want to learn to be more like Jesus. Can I get an amen on that? And we need to learn to love like Jesus. Because I believe that the most genuine expression of love, and that you're going to be able to see that you love somebody, is if you love somebody, you will learn to love like they love. You're going to learn to love like they love. There's an amazing book called The Five Love Languages by Gary Chapman, and it's a relationship tool that you can learn. You can learn how to speak and hear love. Like people, they speak and hear love in different ways. Some people, they speak and hear love with physical touch, just proximity and touching each other. Like it makes you feel comforted. Some people, it's quality time. You just want to be able to hang out. You just want to be able to go on some walks together. Some people, it's having words of affirmation. Words of affirmation to build up. I believe in you, and that speaks love into you. Some of it is gift giving. Sometimes it's acts of service. And the thing that we do with that tool is that we don't just say, well, this is my love language, and now you need to speak my love language. Is that you learn how to speak the love language of the person that you're with. And that's so important. And so what we want to do is we want to learn Jesus' love language and then begin to speak that to the world. And so last week we started off this series learning how to be able to love your enemy. How to love your enemy. How to love those who hurt you. How to be able to bless those who curse you. How to be able to do good deeds to those who mistreat you. It's so easy to talk about until you have an enemy, isn't it? It's so easy to be able to say that until you have somebody that's actually hurt you. In fact, this past week, I realized that the level of our church's influence had reached a new level, actually, just this past week, because some haters started to come out of the woodwork. And on social media, I started getting some hate, man. Some haters. Haters gonna hate, right? And I can say it with a smile, but when it actually happens, I was like, whoa, hey now. And I said to my wife, I was like, babe, I don't know how to process this. And she said, you know, I heard this amazing message on Sunday.
Come on. Come on. That's right.
I said, preach, baby. It's easy to talk about it until it actually happens. But Jesus didn't stop, even as he was on the cross. We're going to love our enemies. We're going to bless those who curse us. And we're going to treat well those people who mistreat us. We're going to love our enemies. And today we're going to talk about one that's so powerful. And I want to be able to introduce it to you by telling you a little story. So a man He's a younger guy. He's, you know, middle 40s. Some of those teenagers are like, younger? What are you talking about? I'm just feeling myself on that one. But he's not feeling well, and so he goes to the hospital. And the doctors aren't sure what's going on, and they begin to run a bunch of tests. They come up with a diagnosis, and it's a pretty serious one. Fatal. And so before they told him, they actually went out into the waiting room, found his wife, and they said, unfortunately, we have a pretty serious diagnosis here. Rather quickly, he's going to degenerate, and you're going to have to be there to take care of him 24 hours a day. You're going to have to feed him. You're probably going to have to bathe him. You're going to have to do a lot of things that maybe you don't normally do. You're going to have to make sure that the house is clean so there's no dust particles around. You're going to have to serve him like crazy, and if it doesn't happen, he's probably going to die. But if you do this for probably about the next 6 months, the great news is he could have full recovery. So the wife sits there, and she walks into the hospital room, and the man's sitting there, and he said, "So what did the doctor say?" And she said, "Honey, I'm sorry to tell you, but you're going to die." That's so messed up. Some of you are like, I don't know what to do with that joke. It's just, I don't know what to do. Like an uncomfortable laugh right now. Today, what we're talking about is that we're going to love by serving. We're going to love by serving. Matthew 20, 28, Jesus said that just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to be a ransom for many. Jesus didn't come to be served. He came to serve other people. The love language of Jesus, and the way for us to be able to learn to love like Jesus, is that we have got to learn to love to serve. We're going to learn to love to serve. If we're going to be able to show the love of Jesus to the world, we're going to do it by serving the world. We're going to do it by serving other people. That God has called us to be part of His family means automatically that He has called us to be servants. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but He came to be able to serve us. And in turn, we are going to do that as well. There's this powerful story to show you the depth of service that Jesus went to. And this is how far we need to go and have the attitude inside of ourselves to be able to love like Jesus, to be able to serve like Jesus. And this story picks up in John chapter 13. Excuse me. It was just before the Passover festival. And Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Let me pause there really quickly. So this is the week of Jesus, the Passion Week that's getting ready to come up. It starts off on Palm Sunday, and Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, and the entire town is just celebrating and shouting, "Hosanna! Hosanna!" and laying down palm branches as Jesus is triumphantly walking into the city. And a couple of things that happened throughout the week as he's getting ready to celebrate Passover, and this is just before the Passover festival, which was taking place on a Thursday. And one of those things that took place before the Passover meal was that when Jesus went into Jerusalem, he didn't just go by himself. He went with his disciples who had been walking with him for a while. So he's going to Jerusalem with him and his boys behind him, right? And one of the things that they had done is they begin to have some conversations within themselves. They had been walking with Jesus for quite a while by now. This is 3 years that they had been with Jesus. And they had got to a place where they were pretty comfortable with who he was. Who they believed he was. Who did they believe that he was? They believed that he was the Prince of Peace. They believed that he was the, the Lord of Lords. They believed that he was the living bread. They believed that he was the living water. They believed that he was the one that was going to come and bring redemption to the nation of Israel, that he was the Messiah, that he was the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. That's who they believed he was. And this walk into Jerusalem, man, this was just the beginning of the kingdom. And they're getting excited about what it's going to look like. Man, down come the Romans, and now we're going to be able to take place, and we're going to really see Israel come to what's going to be like. And so they begin to have a little conversation with themselves. Hey, look around, man. There's 12 of us here. Jesus is there. We know who he is, but man, there's 12 of us, and I'll tell you what, I mean, we've sacrificed a lot. And so it would be great for us to have a little bit of authority, right? Like, Jesus, give us a little bit of authority right underneath you. Like, and so they begin having this conversation. Who is the greatest among us? Like, we know Jesus is there, but now, like, what about the 12 of us, right? And John is sitting there, and John's like, hey, you know, I'm the one that he loves, right? Peter speaks up, and he's like, hey, boys, I was the one that walked on the water. Y'all sat in the boat. I got up and walked on the water. And Thomas is like, yeah, but you sank. You know? Bartholomew speaks up, and everybody's like, bro, nobody's even going to remember your name. Some of you are like, Bartholomew was a disciple? You're going to go back and look it up, aren't you? It'd be fantastic. And they're having this conversation with themselves of wondering who's going to be the greatest among them. And that's when Jesus said those words in Matthew 20:28. That's when he said, hold on, you guys don't even understand. You guys are fighting about this. Let me tell you that those of you that think you're the greatest, it's the greatest is who's the least among you. The person who's going to be able to serve is the one that I'm going to be able to lift up. Just as I have come to be able to serve, that's how you got to be able to live your life. And just after that, we see this story pick up. It's just before the Passover festival. Go back to it, please. Just before the Passover festival, Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Now continue on, please. Jesus knew that the Father had put all, everybody say all. Jesus had put all things under his power. Everybody say power.
Power.
All power was given to Jesus. And what was his purpose? To come and serve. All power on heaven and on earth. All things under his power. And what did he do? He served us. And check out how far he's getting ready to go. He knew that the Father had put all power, all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. He knew that the moment was coming where he was going to die on the cross, and then he was going to rise from the dead. So he got up from the meal. He took off his outer clothing, which is like his jacket. They had this, like, the way they wore these tunics, and there was like this jacket. He took off his jacket. And then he wrapped a towel around his waist. Now, the significance of this towel is this is a very specific towel that Jesus wrapped around his waist. He didn't just go to the linen closet, grab out the good towels, you know, like this was a specific towel that was meant for a specific purpose. So at this time, In the nation of Israel, even today, it's a little bit of an arid climate that is there. What we would also call a desert. Anybody familiar with desert around here? Right? We're all like, okay, we know, we get the picture. We live it all of the time. And one of the interesting things, if you were not aware of the way that a desert climate is that it's a little bit dusty. I'm full of amazing truths today.
Yeah.
Some groundbreaking stuff, aren't you? It's a little bit dusty, right? We know what that's like. And at this time, when they're walking around, they do not have paved roads. We got a little bit of paved roads, right? We got pavers even in our backyard because we don't want to have dust all up in the backyard. So they were walking around on unpaved roads, and the shoes that they wore at that time were sandals. Everybody's seen the Roman sandals, right? Like they wrap them all up around, you know? They got a lot of leather straps on those things. And so they're walking around on dusty roads, and they have sandals on. How many of y'all know what their feet might have looked like? Yeah, right? A little bit dusty, a little bit dirty. They got some dirty feet, right? Dirty, nasty, toe jam, all up in there. I doubt they even had their toenails. Some of you are like, that's just gross. It's too far, right? Like, I'm with you. I am not a foot person at all. I do not care for feet. I do not care. I do not care for long toes that look like eagle claws. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Like those things, like I don't even understand how somebody's toes are as long as my fingers. I don't get it. I do not like those things very much. I do not like feet. I don't like big, like cracked up heels that are dry and got cracks up on them. Like those heels are disgusting, aren't they? Like get some moisturizer. Somebody get some moisturizer up on those heels. Man, it is not bad for you to put moisturizer on your heel, okay? Do not feel like it is a girly thing to do. It's disgusting. It's gross. Some of you know what I'm talking about, don't you? I'm not a fan of feet. Maybe that's why I have so many sneakers. I don't want to see anybody's feet. I don't want to do it. You come over to my house, I'm not going to be walking around just barefoot if you're in my house. I don't do that. I don't just walk around with socks on even. Come into my house, put some shoes on. I don't even want to know what your toes look like, all right? I know one of these days I'm going to get older and I'm not going to be able to bend down and be able to clip my own toenails. And I know that day is coming and it hurts my soul even right now. I do not like feet. I don't like them. And these are dirty feet. These are nasty feet. And so something that they did at this time, it was very customary for them to do this, is that whenever you would walk inside of somebody's home with some dirty feet, it was customary for them as hospitality to wash your feet. That's disgusting, right? Like, well, the thing is that like the thing that's innate in many of us, myself included, of how nasty feet are, this is not a new phenomenon. All right? Like this is something that was inside of them at that time as well. Even though they had sandals, even though they had dusty feet, still nobody, and it was customary for you to walk in and be like, we would love to wash your feet. It's like if you came over to my house and I said, can I get you a glass of water? It's just a nice thing to be able to say. It's what they did at that time. They still didn't want to do it. Nobody wanted to do it. The man of the house, like the master of the house, he wasn't doing it. He wasn't going to be like, okay, let me go ahead and get this towel wrapped around and I'm going to wash your feet. Like that's disgusting, right? That's what they felt at the same time as well. But they wanted to be able to honor people that were coming into their house. And so this task was reserved for the lowest of the low. This task was reserved for the person in the house that had the lowest standing. I'm just going to be blunt with you. This is really what it was. This task was reserved for the lowest slave. That'll put it into your mind a little bit. It was customary, but it was a task that was reserved for the lowest person, the slave in the house. And Jesus, getting ready to have this last meal with his disciples. And I have to imagine that he's sitting there, sitting down, looking around. And he sees all of these disciples who had just had this conversation. They just had a conversation about what was going on. And he thinks to himself, I've got a perfect opportunity to be able to teach them something. Continue on. And after he got the towel, he got up and he poured water into a basin. And he began to wash his disciples' feet. Jesus was going to show them how to truly love. And it was by serving. By serving other people. Doing things that nobody else would want to do. Jesus sitting there, looking around at this group of men who had followed him, that were calling him master. And he looked at them, and what he saw inside of them was he saw some dirty feet and he saw some proud hearts. Because there's many of us that we walk around in this same path. We're dirty on the outside, but we're also dirty on the inside. He looked around and he saw some dirty feet and some proud hearts. He said, I'm going to show you and I'm going to teach you how to truly love. And I'm going to do it by serving. I'm going to do it by doing the lowest thing that you could think possible. The thing that you think is reserved for the lowest of the low. I'm going to show you how to truly serve. How does Jesus want us to be able to love? By serving. By serving other people. By understanding that this world is not about us. It's about showing other people the love of Jesus. How are we going to love the world? By serving others. We see people with dirty feet and proud hearts. And how do you think the disciples responded to Jesus in this moment? They saw something. This is the person that they believe is the Messiah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And look how they respond. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, are you going to wash my feet? You're going to wash my feet? And Jesus replied, you don't realize what I'm doing, but later you're going to understand. And then he says it, nope. Nuh-uh. You're never going to wash my feet. You're never going to wash my feet. Why would Peter respond in this manner? Because he had an idea of who Jesus was and where he wanted Jesus to be. And he had an idea that, man, you are my master and you're never going to stoop so low as to do something that a slave would do for me. You're not going to serve me in this manner. And the reason why Peter had this idea of what Jesus should be doing is because he had an idea of what he should be doing. See, many times for us, we say, absolutely, I'm going to go ahead and I'll serve the world on my terms. I'm going to do what I'm okay with. I'll go ahead and I'll help somebody if it fits my busy schedule. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to help the church if it's something that I want to do. If it's something that I agree with. Well, you know what, Pastor? I'll go ahead and I'll do that if we can do it my way. I know that, man, this is the church, but look, I've got a better idea of what we should be doing. That's what Peter said. No. You're not going to wash my feet because I'm going to be able to serve the world the way that I want to. And so my expectation is for you to be able to serve me the way that I want you to as well. Because there's parts of us inside of ourselves too that proud heart begins to rise up and we want Jesus to serve us the way that we want Jesus to serve us. But Jesus said, I have come not to be served, but to serve. And I'm going to do it in a way that I'm going to do the lowest menial thing possible. The lowest thing possible. Continue on. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and he returned to his place. He said, "Do you understand what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Continue on. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set an example that you should do as I have done." One more. "And very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." We don't want to just be hearers of the word. We want to be doers of the word. And we're going to be able to serve the world how? Any way necessary. Any way necessary. We will do anything short of sin to be able to serve the world and to bring the love of Jesus to the world that desperately needs him. That's what Jesus has called us to do. That's what he did. That's the example that he gave us. And so if you're in here today and you have dirty feet, but you also got a proud heart, it's time to be able to put that into check. Because Jesus got up. He put on a towel that only a slave would put on. He walked to get a bowl and a basin, put water in it, and then he stooped down and he began to do something that nobody else would want to do. What is Jesus calling you to do today? What is a serving opportunity that you know is there, but you've just been resisting? "I don't want to do that. That doesn't feel like me." Let me tell you something today. Serving is not just an action. Serving is an attitude. It starts inside of your heart. And we've got to be able to have it start inside of our heart. People ask me at times, they'll say, "Hey, how did you become a pastor?" And sometimes they'll say it like this: "How did you become a pastor?" You go, "So that's a great question." You know, many times they're asking because maybe they feel a call of God on their life as well, but they're just interested in the story. And it's really safe to assume that I got into being a pastor by going to Bible college, by going to seminary, and then you just apply to a church, and that's how you start the whole process. And that was not the case for me. I went to Bible college, I went to seminary, but that was not how I became a pastor and how I started working within the local church. How it worked for me is that my wife and I, we knew that we had a call of God on our life. We knew that we wanted to be able to serve God. But we had an idea of how we wanted to do that. I didn't want to be a pastor. I know what I want to do, and I'm going to do that. Right? I'm just letting you know that's what it was. My wife is in the same boat. From the time she was in sixth grade, she knew that she wanted to be a teacher, and that's what she wanted to do, and that's what she was going to do, and nobody was going to tell her any different. I know I wasn't telling her any different, that's for sure. And so when we first got married, that's what she was. She was a teacher, and I was going to seminary. I was a seminary student, and we went to a local church, and we served at our local church. But there was something that just wasn't enough. There just wasn't there. We went to church and loved Jesus with everything that we had, and we talked about Jesus all the time, and we go to church, and I was cool. I'll be an usher. Usher's great, man. Usher, I'm just there during service when I'm there anyway, and I'm just walking up and down an aisle. And I love all of our ushers here. You guys are awesome. Thank you so much. I'm not bashing ushers, okay? But that's just what I did, and I was like, "Oh, that's fine with it. Look at me. Look, I'm walking up and down the aisle." You know, the first time I did it, I remember being like, "I hope I don't mess up this plate." The offering plates, you know, so silly. I'll go ahead and sing in a choir. That's what I'll do. I'll sing in a choir. I love to be able to sing. I'm very passionate in my worship. Some of you see that. But this was not a cool choir that we were part of. It was not. This was a choir that we had like old-time robes, not cool-looking robes. They were blue robes with an orange little V thing in the front of it. And we had to have hymn books like this, and most people had glasses looking down at the hymn book like that. You know, that's what, it was not cool, but I'll go ahead and I'll do that. But there wasn't enough Like there was still something that was just missing about it. And so one morning I'm sitting there at breakfast with my accountability partner, who was actually, he was also the youth pastor at the church that we were going to. And I began to have this conversation with him. And I don't know if we're doing it. Like, I just don't feel like we're doing enough. Like, I'm not sure what to do though. Like, I just, you know, I don't wanna, like, this is the path that we're doing. I'm going to school all the time and we're so busy doing this, blah, blah, blah. But there's something, we gotta do something. And he said, well, hey, why don't you come help out with the youth ministry, with the students? And I was like, man, I don't know about that. Like, I don't know about all that. And he's like, well, just come hang out with us. And then we'll see what that looks like. And I was like, all right, cool. And so I went home and I was like, hey, babe, we're going to be helping out with Nick and Brittany with the youth ministry. And she was like, said what? And I was like, we're just hanging out. Like, we're not doing anything else. We're just hanging out. She was like, okay, fine. And so we go we had a good time. We were just hanging out. Just like I said, we're just hanging out. And then he asked me to do something. I was like, all right, cool, we'll do that. And then he asked me to do another thing. I was like, cool, we'll do that. And the next thing I know, like, we are doing everything. We are painting houses, we're painting rooms, we're cleaning up toilets all over the place. I'm leading a community group. Jenny's leading a community group. I start writing all of the community group curriculum for everybody. Like, we're doing all of the stuff. And pretty soon I realized, I was like, bro, what are you doing, man? Like, we're doing all of it over here, you know? And we were just, but we loved it. We loved every single second of it. And after we were serving for over a year, the pastor called us up, called Jenny and I up, and he said, hey, why don't you come over to the church office? Come over to the church office after Wednesday night service. All right, okay. What did you do? So I'm thinking, because I didn't do anything. Like, we're getting called in the principal's office. I didn't do anything. What'd you do, you know? And I know Jenny didn't do anything. She's perfect. So I thought, what did I do? I did something. Actually, what did I get caught for? That's really the better question, you know? So we go over there and he tells us, he said, hey, we're going to be doing some transition here at the church. And we're actually going to be moving Pastor Nick from youth ministry over to be our new music pastor. And we want to know if you want to be the new youth pastor. And we were like, oh, wow. We started talking about what that would look like from serving so much. And so we said, okay, we're going to do this. And that's how we got into youth ministry and how we began pastors. We started that journey. It was by serving. But now here's the big thing about this. Is that later on, I was talking to Pastor Charlie, who was my pastor at that time, And I said, Pastor Charlie, what was it that prompted you to have this conversation with us? And he said, you know, he said, there was one day when I saw you walking from the church building over to the church office, and you were crossing the parking lot, and you saw a piece of trash that was sitting over in the parking lot, and you went and picked it up, and you put it in the trash can. And that was the day that I realized that serving was in your heart. Serving is not just an action. Serving is an attitude. Are you willing to pick up some trash for somebody? Are you willing to pick up some trash for your neighbor? In your home? Instead of seeing it somebody else's mess, you see the opportunity to serve them. Are you willing to pick up some trash from somebody you don't even know? In the mall? Are you willing to serve somebody and doing the lowest thing possible? Are you willing to pick up some trash as you're just walking through here at the church and you see something, you don't think to yourself, man, this place is a pigsty. This is my opportunity to pick this up. Because serving isn't just an action. Serving is an attitude that each of us should have. There's this thing that you hear us talk about quite a bit here at our church. It's called Next Steps. Next Steps is a powerful ministry that we have here at our church. We want to see each and every single person here become a fully devoted follower of Jesus Christ. And there are steps in the journey to be able to see that happen. Know God, find freedom. We want to help you discover your purpose, and then we want to help you make a difference. And it's really what it is it's an on-ramp for you to become part of our dream team. It's an on-ramp for you to begin to serve. It's an on-ramp for you to begin to learn to love like Jesus. That's what it's all about. Because see, too many times in church that we get into this attitude where, you know what, I'm coming to church and what you got for me? What do you have for me today? I'm ready to be fed. I'm ready to have my needs met. But I can tell you that at Focus 314, that we have made the commitment that we are going to be a church full of spiritual contributors and not a church full of spiritual consumers. Am I preaching anybody today? I believe that every single Sunday that God has something for you here. But the purpose that you have when you come into this place is not to be able to get that, but to be able to give back. I'm going to love the world, and I'm going to do it by serving. And you see that. You see that happen in Next Steps. And so if you have not been part of Next Steps, I'm telling you, you will never understand. You will never understand what significance is like, what purpose is like in you until you begin to serve somebody else. Serve them. Serve them with everything that you have. And that's why the most effective way to love the world is to serve the world. They will know we are Christians by our love. And how will they know that we love? By us serving. The world doesn't need another street corner evangelist. The world doesn't need another sign that says all sinners are going to hell. What the world needs is somebody to get down and to wash some dirty feet. Because that symbol is what's going to wash a proud heart. Are you serving the world? Because that's what Jesus did. And some of you I know have been doing it for such a long time. You've been working so hard for such a long time, and you think to yourself, I'm tired, right? Galatians 6:9. Let us not become weary in doing good. Don't get weary in doing good. Let Jesus fill you back up so that you can continue to go on. You know what? I'm tired. I know Jesus was tired. I know that he knew what was coming on that day. I know what was in his heart. And what did Jesus do? Go back to John 3:1. He loved them to the end. He is calling us to love the world to our very end. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to be held back. Haters are going to hate, but I'm going to keep on loving them. I'm going to keep on going. When? How long? To the very end. How are we going to love like Jesus? We're going to serve like Jesus.